Hello and welcome to a special topics podcast by Directions Media. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. Today I will be speaking to John O'Hara, the president of Pitney Bowes Business Insight. Mr. O'Hara took over the reins after the departure of Mike Hickey in June 2010. We'll discuss the company's cloud strategy and recent product enhancements as PBBI moves toward offering software as a service. I hope you enjoy the interview.
Well, we're speaking today with John O'Hara, president of Pitney Bowes Business Insight. John, welcome, and perhaps just maybe give us a brief overview of your background and what capacity you've served the company in the past.
Certainly, and hello, Joe. Great to have a chance to speak with you. So I've been president of Pitney Bowes Business Insight since June 2010, so just under just over 9 months, I guess. I'd been with MapInfo, joined MapInfo in November 2006, where I joined them from Microsoft, and before that, most of my experience had been in large corporations such as Lotus and IBM. I joined in November 2006, and believe it or not, within 5 months, we'd been acquired by Pitney Bowes. And since then, I've been running the international division for initially MapInfo and then Pitney Bowes Business Insight, as it was called, when we combined all of the software divisions in Pitney Bowes into one. And those companies being, of course, MapInfo, but also Group One and Sagent and more recently, Portrait Software.
Certainly, PBBI has come through a transition period where some of the key executives of the past have left the company. How has this impacted the division's ability to meet some of the expectations of Pitney Bowes, a parent company, and maybe on how it can it's executing on its strategic plan?
Sure. Okay. So so I think what has happened is that a number of executives have left the company, but I think that's quite normal. That happens in all companies when there's been an acquisition and you have two CEOs of a public company and you only need one at the end of the day. So we've seen a few moves, and the previous incumbent, Mike Hickey, who I worked for 4 years, who's a very good personal friend of mine, I'm still in contact with him. You know, Mike left for his own personal reasons to fulfill a lifetime ambition to move into teaching. And he knew he was going to be moving out for quite a while. So he gave me plenty of time to pick up the reins to make sure that we had that consistency going forward. So, you know, strangely enough, the move actually was very smooth and the transition was very clean as Mike left the business and I took over in June of last year. So it really hasn't impacted the strategy very much. What I've been focused much more on is really three particular areas, I would say. One has been in terms of pulling together all of the different disparate parts of the company that I've mentioned previously, MapInfo with its GIS and location intelligence capabilities, Group One and Portrait Software, into an overall message which resounded more with the customers. The second area has been to make sure that we really took advantage of the capabilities of the mothership of Pitney Bowes and leverage Pitney Bowes for its stability, its financial stability, and its pedigree. It's been around 100 years, right, or nearly 100 years.
Right.
And so, and thirdly, frankly, I wanted to also bring back a focus into the lines of business. So I didn't want to just lose any of them. And I've also appointed heads of lines of business. And one of those lines of business is location intelligence. And we now have a leader of that line of business who is wholly accountable to me on the success and growth of the LI product portfolio, both in terms of organic growth and inorganic growth as well.
So let me pick up just a little bit on some of the strategy that you just mentioned. Certainly, there's a development in the product suite towards a more cloud-based orientation. You've already introduced things with regard to the cloud and a hosted environment for data, the data as a service, the DAS. And maybe just give me an update on your plans to move any other products to the cloud or just the cloud strategy in general.
Yeah, of course. Okay, Joe. So first of all, let me say that we remain committed to delivering solutions to customers in the way in which they want to buy, whether that be on-premise or software as a service through the cloud. And I like to think that software as a service is not a strategy. It's an enabler of technology. And today, we continue to make products available as a service, as you've mentioned, whether that be hosted in the cloud or as a private hosted server based in our offices. But we do recognize that SaaS is a rapidly emerging business trend, and customers are asking about this. So about 12 months ago, we divided our engineering resources into two, and that being the traditional product areas that you're very familiar with, but also then the emerging solutions, which are all SaaS-based solutions. Now, that meant that 40% of our total engineering resources were focused on the new products. And the only rule that we had for those new products was that they had to be SaaS-based solutions, whether by industry or across a horizontal market. And some of those were products that you've mentioned. So we had Stratus, which is our web mapping capability. That has been launched. We now have 22 live customers, mostly in the UK and US. We have our data product, Confirm On Demand, our asset management product, mainly in the UK and Australia, which is a good model that we've used to transition to an on-premise from an on-premise to a SaaS model. And now we have six significant customers, mainly local governments, on board. You referenced Geosk, which is our data as a service. So that's really two products, Marketplace and Library. And these have been really relatively slow moving, but are now moving into the markets, and we expect two significant customers to sign up in the very near future. And then we've been creating a number of specific industry solutions in the cloud, such as our Underwriters Workbench. So this is the first product that has come from our partnership with Salesforce.com, where we have committed to developing SaaS applications on their Force.com platform. And it really helps mid-tier insurance companies get the benefit of straight-through processing without the significant overhead required. So that is just about to be launched. And then finally, we have our marketing automation and prospect finding services, which allows the smaller enterprise companies to identify and market to prospects that match their businesses using both geographic or location and demographic profiling. So these all came about from the split in the organization, the development organization, into two, and that 40% of our resources focused on what we called X and 10, which became X numbers of solutions in 2010. The goal was to create 10 of them and bring a number of those to market. And I think we've succeeded, but it's still early days yet, and we're still getting traction there.
Right, and some of the challenges, though, as you just mentioned, were bringing together some of those divisions all with a location element to them to try to make them meld a little bit more clearly. Has that been as easy as you thought it was going to be, or maybe what are some of the challenges you've experienced in maybe selling those capabilities into perhaps an existing MapInfo account that may not have been familiar with some of those other solutions that you bring to market now?
Well, I think it's been largely through trying to sell a much more holistic solution. So if you think about how we've sold in the past, we've really gone to market as MapInfo, and the Group One acquisition went to market as Group One, and so on. And it was very siloed and very fragmented, and we found that we were selling at much more departmental levels. What we're now able to do is to talk to customers about how we can offer a complete solution around helping them to manage the relationships they have with their customers. And that has a very strong location element. But the first element to that is data, helping them to manage their data and enriching their data. And part of that enrichment of a customer's data is not just the data cleansing and the normalization and standardization of the data, but enriching it through the power of location so that we can now apply a spatial data element into that data, as well as other demographic data fields as well, and indeed some specialist industry data, such as risk data for the insurance market. So what we do is we can basically increase the value of the data, then provide them much more insight into that data, again, through the use of our mapping engine, to be able to segment their customers based upon location, where they're based, for particular offerings, but also through the acquisition of Portrait Software, which gave us a rich marketing analytics capability. It also now gives us the ability to mine data, and to look at the propensity of certain customers to buy a particular service or solution from a company based on those trends. So I think what we can now do is we can actually build that power of location into much more of a meaningful solution, a more holistic solution, rather than just looking at a siloed, purely GIS approach, which I think is where MapInfo originally started and where it's now. We still have a huge base in that space, and we're not moving away from it. But I think much more of the opportunities we're seeing, the big value opportunities that we're seeing, happen to be when we have a much more holistic solution. And one element of that might be, it might just be a geocoder, or it might be the mapping engine, or an AnySight solution. So it really does vary.
And so when you talk about a holistic approach, that brings to mind to me that it's a more vertical solution in that regard, that you're trying to address a particular problem. And I'm just wondering if you're getting pushback from the people who are not used to seeing that kind of an approach, in particular when you lead with location intelligence, for example. You know, they may be very familiar with getting a marketing solution or a CRM or something like Salesforce.com, but you're coming at it from a little different point of view, and I'm just wondering if you've experienced any pushback on that.
Well, I think if you think of it as a matrix, I think we're coming at it from two viewpoints. One is that our entire organization, our sales organization, is organized as in industry verticals right now, and they have the rich and deep knowledge of those markets and they understand what the customers want. And what they're trying to do is map onto what the customers want with the technologies that we have. Typically around, again, enabling lifetime customer relationships using powerful analytics and data management and communications. I think the other element, though, when I mentioned the matrix, is you've got that rich industry experience, but then you've got the lines of business. So I have James Buckley as the head of the line of business for location intelligence globally, and he is basically focused on much more where can I actually use this technology, not necessarily in a particular industry solution, although that's part of his brief, but also much more ubiquitously across an entire organization.
Do you think at this point with leading with that suite, that location intelligence suite, that matrix of solutions, do you think that is an advantage or disadvantage? You're out there selling product and solutions, and you've got to justify your existence by leading with that tagline. So I'm kind of curious as to the highs and the lows that you experience with that with leading with of a tagline.
So let me, if I lead with the, first of all, in terms of the lows, think the lows are basically when we put ourselves into a silo and start talking purely GIS, which tends to basically position us at a departmental level largely. And we have great capabilities there, and then we start talking technology. I think what we're seeing now, though, is that where we really get traction and the highs come when we actually not talk technology and we literally leave the products in the parking lot and instead we talk about business value. And everything that our customers are doing now touches location in some way. I think this is the age of location, quite frankly. We all hear about context-aware computing and that's coming into the fore right now. And we basically just talk to customers about how they target new customers based upon location and other demographic data, how they sell more or look at a particular product or service which might be applicable to a particular segment of that market. So I think that when you actually position location much more as a key element to business value, that the customers tend to sit up more, they tend to listen more, and frankly, when we actually sell into those areas, then they tend to be much more enterprise-level sales which enables us to get much more of a strategic relationship with those enterprises rather than just being a supplier that supplies at the departmental level.
Yeah, that, I think that's an interesting approach. Do you feel like you're reaching some sort of cognitive recognition of what location can do? Do you feel like you have to justify the ROI of your solutions? Or do you feel like when you're doing those kind of presentations that people do latch on to that, to the value and the real power of location? Or do you feel like you have to lead with something else, some other analytical solutions that say, oh, well, and by the way, we've got location too?
Yeah, so I think location is ubiquitous right now. I think everybody has their smartphones or their iPhones, and they're just using location everywhere, or they're using their social media applications that have location embedded within that. So I think everybody is much more savvy today about location than ever before. So I tend to see a lot of nodding heads. I think in the past, the interesting thing, though, is that the C-level agenda has definitely changed in the past 12 months or so, away from being focused on cost savings and cost cuttings, and much more towards enterprise growth. And that is largely around how do we find more customers? How do we target customers better? How do we find upsell and cross-sell opportunities at those customers? And I think location plays a very important part in that, because at the heart of it, it's all about customer segmentation. And the first question that the clients want to know is, well, where are those customers? Where are the customers right now that we're not actually touching? Where are the customers that we should be? Where is the greatest mass of a particular type of demographic profile of customer that we should be targeting? So I think that what we do right now is we talk in the agenda of the C-level right now, which according to Gartner has very much changed to one of enterprise growth. And we're finding that. And discovering that they're very open to listening to us, first of all, about helping them to understand their customers more, which is about getting their data right, then providing insight into that data, which is marketing analytics, as well as geographic spatial intelligence around the data, to give them that greater insight. And then finally, it's the communication element. How do we then communicate with those customers in the way in which they want to be communicated to? And I just feel that when we tell that story, which has all these different elements around adding value to the customer's CRM and ERP and data that they have in their organization, providing insight into that data through powerful analytics and predictive capabilities, and then finally helping to communicate in the way in which the customers want to be communicated to, they get it. And they see that a core component part of that is location.
Right. So what I hear you saying is that it's no longer an educational process when you walk into a C-level executive. You're being pushed as much as you're pushing them to engage with the technology.
You know, I think that's right. I think it's a lot more collaborative than it's ever been before. I feel right now that instead of us selling a technology which is an enabler in an organization, we're now actually part of a much more strategic business solution. So a good example of that is last week I was in Seattle at a major credit union where we were presenting to the C-level audience upon the core capabilities and competencies of the organization. We didn't talk products really at all. Instead, we presented the capabilities around the pain points of the customers, which largely for a credit union is around how do we actually attract more members into the credit union? How do we service those members better? And how do we actually look at upsell and cross-sell opportunities to sell them more services, to tie them in more into the credit union? And that's what we talked about. And we talked about the same thing. We talked about, first of all, identifying who those members were and where those new members could be based on the power of location, based upon what they might want, based on demographic data or on mining data on what similar customers have actually bought. Because now we have those capabilities in much the same way that you go to Amazon and you buy a book, and the next time you go there, it says, you know, hello, Joe, the last time you were here, you bought this book. Similar customers also bought this, this, and this. Well, we can now do that as well. So it's all going to add value to help the customer or to help our clients to understand what their customers want and to be able to not only attract new customers, but also to identify upsell and cross-sell opportunities to existing customers. So in the example I gave, this always happens. The customer in question just said, well, I am absolutely amazed. He said, I thought that you were here, that you were just a mapping company or maybe a document composition company. But he said, I am completely amazed. And I had no idea about your capabilities in this overall area. And he said, it was more than met my expectations from this meeting. And we get that. We find that a lot now.
Maybe just a final question, just to go back to product for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can tell us on the product side of MapInfo, you know, prior to going into the user conference this year, that maybe you could share with us?
What you'll hear is that MapInfo, our professional product, continues to be a rock star. I mean, it is continuing to grow year on year. It is a significant part of our product line. And the beauty of being part of a company like Pitney Bowes, which is a very profitable and well-regarded company, is that it continues to invest. So right now, we are looking to continue to invest in that product line. We are looking to see how we can integrate other core technologies into that. You will hear much more about additional capabilities around our web mapping product with Stratus. You will see a lot more about how we're integrating our mapping engine into our Spectrum data engine as well. So in the past, we had Envinza. The old MapInfo customers will know about Envinza, which was our enterprise-based mapping platform. Well, now we've combined that with our data quality platform into a product called Spectrum, and so you'll hear more about that. And I think what your listeners are going to hear more about at our Insight conference in June in Las Vegas is a complete resurgence in the interest within Pitney Bowes and within Pitney Bowes Business Insights in location intelligence, in a commitment to the products going forward, and more importantly, into a whole range of new solutions, many of which will be SaaS-based, which will have the power of location intelligence as an intrinsic part of that solution.
Well, John, thanks very much for your time. We certainly look forward to hearing more about the company's strategy and certainly the MapInfo product suite development at Insights 2011 in June.
That's great. I hope so, and I hope we'll see you there, Joe. It'd be lovely to catch up again. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. Listen in next time, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions Media.